30 tonight. I told you we'd start the family series on. We're actually talking about raising children and in a godly method. You know, I think if there's something that America needs, you know, Brother Scott made the thing, you know, he made the statement, he's thankful to be living in America. Well, you know, we still have the freedom to raise our children in God's ways. You know that? We do, and I think America is failing their children. Would anyone agree with that? We're failing our children, and what we're doing as parents is failing our children, and we're pointing fingers at our children for failing. When in reality, God left it up to us to raise our children. Well, we talked a little bit about the command parenting versus the asking why parenting. Well, tonight I want to go on into some more details and some requirements for rearing our children, but some things, how can we get to where we need to be with our children? Let's pray tonight and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now to meet with us in a mighty way. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this all-important study, Lord. And we know the devil's after our children. We know that he's coming to steal and kill and to destroy. And Lord, we want to make it our mission, God, to be better moms and dads and husbands and wives. And Lord, may our children want to be better children that obey and listen to mom and dad. And may mom and dad raise them up right spiritually, Lord, to teach them to overcome their adversary, the devil. Lord, we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, just bless us tonight. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. So tonight we're going to talk about a few different things. But how many know practice makes what? Perfect. Well, see, when we're raising our children, we need to practice, practice, practice. Training is the practice of doing the right thing until it becomes a habit. A basketball player can perform on the court without having to think about it every move he makes because he has practiced. He's practiced, and he's practiced some more until those moves are a part of his character and nature. A pianist does not sit down at the piano to perform without many hours of what? Practice, so that he or she can make the movements of the fingers upon the keys, or they become as natural as breathing itself. Nor does the person who is to perform at the keyboard watch others play and take notes and think that they can sit down and perform it. You ever met someone that thinks like that? I can do that. Not without what? Practice. Well, you know, children aren't going to do right without us teaching them. And then they need practice on how to do right. And it is our job as parents to help them understand. Every time they mess up, we're going to practice what it takes to do this the right way. Yet parents, they send their children out on the stage of life to perform without a clue of how to live or behave. I think we could look in the day and age that we live and see that group from about probably 18 to 30 has proven that to be true. Amen. Why? Because they were neglected. But they also grew up in the generation where the cell phone became very prominent. And am I right or am I wrong? You know, when I was in high school, they didn't have a smartphone yet. They had just came out with the Razor. How many remember that phone? You know, the BlackBerry was a thing, but kids didn't really have those. And I remember when the Razor came out and I really wanted one. I was never allowed to have one. I had this little prepaid flip phone thing. That, you know, I couldn't, it wasn't accessible to do what we can do today. But this generation has grown up with electronics really running everything. They don't have to think for themselves. I mean, for nothing. They can take these things to school. Most schools allow them in the classroom. You see what I'm saying? They're literally raising a generation on a phone. This is what parents our children today. And I'm going to tell you something. My older kids have phones, and I know some of your kids have phones. And look, I'm not against the phone. What I'm against is when the phone takes the place of the parent. You know, I see young children walking around with iPhones and tablets. I'm thinking to myself, does that phone actually call people? And can you actually get on that and get on the internet? Oh, yeah, I got a phone for my birthday. How old are you? I'm 6. You got a phone for your birthday at 6 years old? What that means is mom and dad need a babysitter. Y'all listening? And this does take control of their mind. Very, very quickly. Why? Because there's so much on there. You could spend hours, days, years on this thing and see different things every single day. You could type in one word and ruin the rest of your life that quickly. These things have become so prominent in a day and age. This is what we rely on to parent our children. We've gotten away from God's way of raising children. Children only get good at life decisions by having practiced, and practiced. They do not learn how to conduct themselves by watching others do it. And see, don't expect your children to ever do right if you don't practice with them and teach them to do right. When they mess up, and by the way, they're going to mess up, right? I'm 33 years old and I mess up every single day. Why? Because for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when they mess up, it's very important that we understand, one, they're not perfect, and neither are you, mom and dad, right? Don't ever put yourself on a pedestal. I mean, now listen, they do need to understand that it is your home. God should be in charge of the home, dad, mom, and then the children. But right now, I'm afraid in America, we live in a day and age where God is not really a part of the home at all. And really, if the children say it, that's what mom and dad are going to go with because they want peace. You see what I'm saying? Well, who's behind that theory? Whose idea of a home is that? That's Satan's idea of a home. God knows that he wired us to raise our children and raise them godly, but Satan knows, oh, your mom and dad, you know, if you'll just convince them, whine a few times, complain, mumble, grumble till they give you your way, and then everything will be good, and the next time it'll do it again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Any parent ever battle with that? And you give in. Why? Because you just don't want to deal with it, right? It's easier to just give in than to fight the battle. Folks, I've learned some of the most harmful things that I've done to my children is give in to them. You don't teach them a lesson by giving in to them. They learn nothing except for that they can do it again. For example, the writer writes this, when our children were younger, we would practice opening and closing the door properly. How many remember having those lessons growing up? I remember my great-grandma, she had this old screen door, and that, you know, the old springs on the door when they go. Well, that's about what happened to me after that door slammed. You know what I'm talking about? See, they taught me, don't slam the, and I'll be halfway through the yard by the time I hear that. And I'll come back in, and I'll open the door, and the air conditioner will be on, and they'll say, were you raised in a? Shut the door! I'll run out again, bam, and slam the door. Hey, you know how many times I had to come back and open that door and hold it open, walk out a couple steps, and ease it back shut? Why? Because really I think it just annoyed the daylights out of my grandmother and my great-grandma, but they wanted me to understand how to open and close a door properly. Well, do you know the little things, every one of us as parents, we have things that bother us. How many of you would say, I have little things that really bother me? Raise your hand. And you know, we could go, I'd love to go around the room right now, turn the live stream off and just say, what's the little thing in your home that bothers you the most? We'll do that sometime. We'll have some fun. And it'll be a lot of fun, and we'll figure out what's your pet peeve. What's the thing that bothers you the most? But see, those little things that bother you the most are the things that you should take the most time up with your children to teach them, hey, this is how mom would like this done. This is how dad would like this done. Even if they don't see the realness in it or why, it really doesn't matter. But it's because I said so. Amen? I heard that growing up my whole life. I'm thinking to myself, why does that really matter? And really and truly, it in my mind, it just didn't. But to granny and granddaddy, it mattered. Because I said so. I hated hearing that as a child. Children hate to hear that today. Well, and I remember one time, I got wise, what I thought was wise, and I said, you know what, the next time my grandma says that, I'm going to say, well, why does it have to be what, just because you say so? Why can't you have a reason? So I asked her one time. I found out quickly the reason did not matter at all. She lost a peach tree limb off of her peach tree that day. Some of you know what I'm talking about. What she taught me was, I do not have the right to question her. See, if our children in today's society would learn that, I'll tell you what's hard today is coaching. And, you know, you can tell the ones that are disciplined at home and that have moms and dads that are doing the job that God has called them to do. And nobody has a perfect kid. I don't care who you are. I don't have one. You don't have one either. Hate to break the news to you. None of them are perfect. They all have faults. But when you're out there coaching, man, you know it's easy when you can kind of raise your voice a little bit and be stern with a football player. You ought to be able to talk to young men like young man and them not cry and be all offended and their feelings are hurt. Hey, if they were disciplined at home, they'd have no problem taking instruction in school. I would hate to be a full-time teacher today. I feel bad for the teachers. I do not know how much more they can take. I mean, some of you shaking your head, you know what I'm talking about. But then you have students that are so nice, they're kind, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am. You know what happened to those? They've been taught what's right and wrong. Their parents have worked with them, and you start thanking God. And what I made a practice of doing now when I coach, I'll seek out the parents whose kids are good and obedient. Like for instance, you know the group of kids that come on Sunday morning, the six brothers and sisters. Those are some good kids. They don't show anybody any problem. Now, one of them's got, he's a little wild a little bit, but he's curious. But they play football. Their girls are in sports down there, and it's always yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am. And I made a point to tell their mom and dad, you guys are doing a really good job with your kids. They're doing something right. You say, well, why aren't they here? Well, I don't know why they're not here, but I know this. Somebody taught them along the way that training their children was important. And as a result, their children listen. But man, you get around that kid and you say, son, don't do that. And he looks at you and says, you ain't my dad. You can't tell me what to do. I'm just like, look, I'm going to talk to your parents now. Because I'm that guy. If you say that to me, I'm going to go talk to your parents. I'm going to let, look, you obviously don't want your kid to be out here any more than he wants to be out here. So if he's not going to listen, he ain't playing for me. Amen? Just how it is. Because see, here's the problem with that. A little leaven leaveneth the what? Whole lump. You know, like when you have a bunch of kids in a home and one kid's acting out. Did you know that one child can change the atmosphere of the whole house? Am I right or wrong? Listen, I've seen it many times. One child, hey dad, your attitude could change the whole atmosphere of the home. And mom, your attitude could change the atmosphere of the whole home real fast. Very, very important to train. Training must be exercised. If you don't have to look there, you can write this down or you can look if you want. Acts 24:16. A good conscience must be exercised. Acts 24:16 says this, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and towards men. Can I say this? On purpose, choose to have a good conscience. This says a conscience void of offense towards God. What does that mean? That means God's going to tell us some things, let's just be honest, that we're not going to like. You read this Bible long enough, you know, it's all good, right? And it's all true because it's the Bible. But, you know, there's some things in there that would make my life a lot better fleshly if it weren't in there. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop being offended at God's Word. We are so thin-skinned in our society today. God, I mean, somebody preaches against something and it hurts their feelings. They want to leave church. Folks, listen to me. That is called conviction. You better be thankful that Holy Ghost is doing His job in your life. Stop being upset that God's Word is being preached. Hey, what we're lacking in America today is preachers that'll stand in a pulpit and preach God's Word with boldness. Don't be upset that God's Word is doing its job. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict. We must not be offended over that. A good conscience must be exercised. And hey, don't teach your children to be victims. Man, that's another set of children I can't stand to deal with. And you'll know them because their parents are the same way. Always got to be something wrong, but it's never their fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, your child hit her in the face. I saw it happen with my own eyes. Oh, no, he didn't. Well, he must have been provoked. Yeah, by your lack of discipline in the home. Then you tell them that, and they're like, oh, no, that preacher, he did not just preach on me. Come on, guys. Listen, don't teach your children to be victims. We need to get away from a group of people. Hey, you want to know what victims produce? Look in our country today. They can't decide what they are. Hello? When God said male or what? We're not in anatomy class tonight, but it's pretty stinking obvious. Ain't it? But we got parents out there. Look, I know a family in Alaska, in Seward, where we came from. These parents had their first baby, and they were so pro-choice. This is no lie. That baby wasn't allowed in daycare. He wasn't even allowed to have his diaper changed. I said his because it was a little boy. Wasn't allowed to have his diaper changed by grandma and grandpa because they didn't want no one telling him what he was. He was going to make that decision for himself when he got old enough. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? This is America. Like, it's a little boy. It's pretty obvious. But no one's going to tell him that because we want him to decide who he wants to be. How is it that we live in a day and age where you can sue your parents for not having your permission for having you? Did you hear what I just said? And win the lawsuit. My parents didn't have permission to have me. I'm suing them. Folks, this happened. Look it up. You know what happened is we live in a day and age where we have no rules, no regulations. Do as you want to do. Live life the way you want to live it. Please yourself. Forget about God. Forget about the church. Forget about rules, regulations, raising your children, how you ought to be raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Hey, and we wonder why America's like it is today. Because we, the people, have failed miserably. A good conscience must be exercised. Can I say this? Godliness must be exercised. 1 Timothy 4:7 says this, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Choose what's right, even when you feel like your flesh may benefit from the wrong. I could tell you plenty of opportunities every single day where my flesh has an opportunity to fail. And I'm sure you could do the same. But you know, we need to learn and teach our children to choose right even when we're not looking. Even when we're not watching, because here's the reality. You blink your eyes, and those of you who have already had your kids and they've come through your house, and some of you have grandkids, great-grandkids, it goes fast, doesn't it? You blink, and they're driving. It's just weird. You blink, and they're in high school. And then two are in high school. And it's just so fast. Things are just a blur. And we're wasting our time. We are not exercising the right and the privilege that God has given us to teach our kids godly traits and godly attributes. Listen, if your kids only do right because you are watching them, we have failed as parents. What happens when mom and dad are gone? When they're married and mom and dad's not there to see what you're looking at on your phone, guys. Y'all listening? And girls, when mom and dad's not there to pick you up when you make unwise decisions. You're only doing right because you don't want to get caught. You know what I'm saying? But behind the scenes, you think no one even knows what's going on. But God knows what's going on. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he what? Also reap. We need to learn to teach our children to do right all the time. And you want to know the best way to teach them to do right all the time? Here it is. You do right all the time. As much as humanly possible. I told you last week, one of the hardest things as a parent is whenever one of your children come up and say, "Didn't you say we shouldn't do that?" And you're guilty. And then you're caught in a rock and a hard spot, right? The rock says, "Well, tell that child he don't need to be telling you what to do." The hard spot says, "Well, you did tell them not to do it. You said that was wrong." Double-minded, right? You think kids don't pick up on that? Oh, they pick up on it real fast. Learn to practice godliness. Discernment of good and evil must be exercised. This one's very important. Hebrews 5:14 says this, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, how many are saved? Say amen. So we have the Holy Spirit, and His job is to discern good and evil. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. We need to teach our children to heed to the Holy Spirit if they are saved. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 4. I want to show you this verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter number 4, in verse number 12. The Bible says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." How are we going to learn to teach our kids to discern good and evil? Something that most parents fail at, myself included, is not spending enough time in God's Word with your children. Guilty. Shameful to say it, but very guilty. It's very important that if God's Word is important to you, they might just find out that God's Word is important. You might just find out that God's Word is important to them. But I think we better learn to teach our children to not base their decisions on their feelings. Amen? But what thus saith the Lord? Discern good and evil. The exercise of covetous practices produces cursed children. 2 Peter 2:14 says, "Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices cursed children." Can I say this? Teach your children to practice godly practices. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. Start with the basics. Start with this. Sunday school is what time? 10 o'clock, right? How many people think it ought to be important for you to get up out of bed a little bit earlier on Sunday morning? Most of you go to work a whole lot quicker than 10 o'clock on Monday, right? Everybody okay? How many of you think it ought to be important for your children to come to Sunday school and learn the same stories that you learned in Sunday school? Look, if it's not important to you, it will not be important to them. Everybody okay? I'm not preaching at nobody here. I'm telling you the truth. If you want God to be important in your children's lives, God has to be important in your life. And then, not just Sunday school, but now we have church at 11. Hey, kids, they're going to go to junior church. Be there. Sunday nights, we have church at 6 o'clock. Be there. Wednesday night, we have church at 6:30. Be there. Hey, we have visitation. If you can come, and I understand that's not a requirement for you to come every single week on our schedule, but look, most of us don't even go off that schedule because stuff comes up, but we go at some point through the week. Make it a purpose to come and bring your kids. Something else that I struggle with is getting my kids involved with that because they're so busy. But the devil can make all the excuses in the world. If I don't bring them to that stuff and don't make it important to them now, it's not going to be important to them later. Practice, practice, practice. Over and over and over again until they fall in love with it. Training must be exercised while there's still hope. Proverbs 19:18 says this, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." A child's behavior must be molded into usefulness while he's trainable. And catch this, training must be started at an early age. Most of the behavioral and thinking patterns for life are developed at a very young age. A time will come when a child is not trainable. You ever met those kind of kids? You know, it's like you go to a new job and, you know, you don't teach an old dog new what? They're set in their ways, right? They've got, you ain't going to change some people's minds because that's just how they are. But parents, listen, when God gives us our children, we have the ability to change their minds with the Word of God at a very young age. And you have to discipline. I don't understand parents that don't discipline their children. I just simply don't get it. Because for me, one, I really just don't like unruly kids and the way they act. Now, I love them, but I don't like that stuff. I don't like it when I see kids being rebellious and disrespectful and screaming at their mom and dad and kicking and fighting. And I mean, I was talking to a young lady recently. I said, you know, you really need to do something with your daughter. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, she was asked to do something. And in the process of going from this lady to this lady, she kicked this one and hit this one and screamed at that one. And she said, oh, that's just, I said, no, that's not just anything except your lack of parenting. If one of my kids ever kicked an adult, they might never kick again. No, it's like Brother Andrew said a few minutes ago, I was praying and I was thanking the Lord for Lawton knowing the Lord. And about that time, Lawton ran out the door and he said, he better be thanking God he knows Jesus because he's going to need him in a few minutes. Crack me up. Y'all know what I'm saying, but look, we have got to train these babies. They're not going to train themselves. I think it's very clear what a generation of training themselves has produced. And here's the problem with this. It's only going to get worse. And you say, how could it? I don't even want to know the answer to that question. In 12 years, there's no telling what I'm going to be up here preaching on, if I'm still alive. I can't imagine America being a more sinful place than it is right now. But it says it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. And it was so bad then that God repented that he had even created mankind and he flooded the entire earth and 8 individuals stayed alive. 8. You got more fingers than that. 8 people. I can't imagine what this world's coming to. So what are some requirements for rearing our children? Can I say this? Number one, you must have faith. You've got to have faith if we're going to rear godly children. You must have enough faith in God and His promise to put into practice the instruments found in the Bible. You must believe that it works. You must have faith to believe God's Word over your own emotions. I'll say it again. You must have faith to believe God's Word over your own emotions. I remember growing up, now I understand, and you know, I'm not saying I'm against this, but I remember growing up, we used to sit right over in this area in the church that I went to, and I remember there'd be, my grandma always had a rule. From the time I was able and made to sit in church, I wasn't allowed to fall asleep in church. Now, you say, well, that's just crazy. No. You know what she was teaching me? That I need to respect and reverence God's Word when it's being opened and being preached. That I don't need to be out here sleeping. Today, we struggle to keep adults awake. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It bothers me when I look out and see people sleeping. Now, if God's that boring to you, I'm sorry. But here's the deal. She had a rule. You can fall asleep, but when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. And you know how many times I fell asleep in church? One time. At least that's how many whoopings I got for it. Because after that, I understood that wasn't good. You understand what I'm saying? And she talked to me and she said, son, I'm not mad about you sleeping. Sleeping's not the problem. The problem is when the preacher's up there and he's prepared and he's preaching his heart out and God's Word is being preached, you need to learn, one, how to sit still in church. Amen? Hey, folks, we do need to teach our kids to sit still. Is everybody okay? I mean, it's something, but how are they going to learn if we don't what? Practice, practice, practice. Say it with me. Practice, practice, practice. You say, I don't understand how to do it, Brother Drew. Look, you say it one time. Sit still. If you don't sit still, you and mom or you and dad are going to go out back. We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting, and we're going to come back and we're going to try it again. And we're going to practice, practice, practice. And then if it doesn't work again, well, guess what? Well, that didn't work. Do it again. Do it until they submit. Because they will submit eventually. There was a time where Crystal and Colton were up at a missions conference in Anchorage, and I was stuck at work in Seward, and her dad was there. And Colton just was being horrible in church. And Crystal tried to take him out and spank him, and he was being so bad that she couldn't even spank him. I mean, he physically would not let her do it. So she went back and she got her dad and she said, "Dad, Drew's not here. I'm going to need you to take care of this." Well, in about 2 minutes, Colton came back up in there and he sat just as perfect, as still as he could be. And she said, "What did you do?" He said, "I taught him a lesson." And guess what? It was so much better. We got to get over this mentality that, oh, we're going to hurt our children. No, you're hurting them by not disciplining them. Because whenever they turn 18 and 19 years old, and you're visiting them through a glass window, and they're wearing orange clothes, hey, then what? It's too late. I said it's too late. I don't want to ever look through a glass window at one of my children. I've been on the other side of that window and saw my dad in there. I don't want to pick up a little phone and not be able to hug my child and have to talk through him through a glass. I don't want to see my kids like that. Hey, I want to see my kids standing and my boys standing in a pulpit preaching the gospel. I think that'd be kind of nice. I'm talking about pastors, preachers, evangelists, missionaries. That'd be kind of nice. I want to see my daughters not marry scumbags who don't love the Lord. And if I have anything to do with it, they won't anyway. Promise. I want to see them marry somebody who's wholeheartedly sold out to God, whose parents have taken up time with him and taught him that God is important, and whose dad has taught him that he needs to treat his mother with respect because he's going to treat my daughter the same way he treats his mother. You guys all right? Hey, girls, when you're picking your guys out, watch how the guys treat their mom. I'm going to say this again. Girls, listen up. When you're looking for a husband, spend some time around him and his mother, or him and his grandmother, and you'll find real quick what kind of husband you're going to have. And guys, I'll fill you in on something. Some of you young preacher boys who need a wife, Brother Blake. When you're looking for a wife, spend some time with her around her daddy. And watch how she reacts to her dad's authority. And that's the kind of wife you're going to have. I'm telling you the truth. That is who you're going to marry. And if she disrespects dad, fact check, she going to disrespect you, sir. And if he disrespects his mother, fact check, girls, he going to disrespect you. I'm trying to help you. I'm probably going to have to preach some of your weddings someday, and the last thing I want to do is know in my heart before you say I do that I'm about to make the biggest mistake of my life by giving you to her or giving her to him. I want you all to marry right and marry pure. And parents, that should be all of our goals for our children. And we need to start that when they're babies, all the way up, training them up by faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please him. Faith in rearing children means that you are willing to believe God, even if you do not understand, even if you personally believe differently. You are willing to follow God rather than yourself. Sometimes God's ways may not seem to be the right ways, but remember that God's ways are higher than our ways and that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The reason we must trust God is because he knows what is at the end of the road. Did you know that God sees what we cannot? God already sees the end of your trial. And you may just be going into it. He sees from a higher vantage point. We are to listen to God and to be in tune with Him. When we come to a fork in the road and the left path looks good to us, but God says the right path is the correct path, we need to choose the right path. Amen? But the left looks so prosperous to who? To carnal things? That's going to turn to what? Dust one day? Ash? Or take the path that God says, this is probably better for your life. We are to trust Him for the end results. James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Someone once said, faith is the affirmation and the act that bids God's eternal truth to be a present fact. It is one thing to hear what the Word of God says. It is another thing to go home and put it to practice. See, a lot of us, we say amen in here, but when we get home, we have to go back and deal with that unruly child, and then we're like, well, I know what was said tonight. I know what God's Word says. I know what I should be doing, but if I put my foot down, they're just going to argue. It's okay if they argue. You pay every single one of their bills. Y'all with me? You probably bought their vehicle if they're still living in your house. More than likely, you're paying for their gas. Probably their insurance. Definitely their cell phones. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I wonder what would happen if all that stuff was just gone. You know, I made a mistake one time. I'm not going to get into details, but I did something really dumb. I drove home and I wasn't in any shape to drive, if you can put two and two together. And I thought that my grandparents would be in bed. They were not. I walked in the door and I tripped over the front doorstep. My grandmother's light was on by her recliner. And I thought to myself, I had enough brain to realize that I was a dead man. That's all I could think about. This was at like 3 a.m. You know what she did? This was a Friday night. She woke me up at 5 in the morning, Brother Scott, handed me a hoe, and told me to go out to the garden and start working. 5 a.m. She knew it wasn't right. You know, I wasn't right. She was perfectly fine. I mean, I worked. I sweat. I was so thirsty. She would not let me even get a drink of water. She told me I had enough to drink already. Can you believe that? I couldn't believe the result there. She said, you've had plenty to drink, son. And then it's almost hunting season. And she knew. See, parents, you need to learn what cuts the deepest in your child. See, she knew the one thing that was important to me that time of year was getting home at a good hour so I could go deer hunting. See what I'm saying? So she said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to take your keys. And I didn't say, no, you're not. Are y'all okay? I was scared to death of this woman. And if you've met her today, I mean, she still slaps them around today a little bit. Some can testify here. But she, now listen, she doesn't have the right mind anymore. But I was scared to death. I would never have said, you're not getting my keys. Because they weren't my keys. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I said, okay. So is granddaddy going to drive me to school and pick me up? Oh, no. You're going to ride the bus. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This puts me home at 4:30 almost. It gets dark at 5:30. How am I going to have time? She said, well, that's not my problem. Guess you shouldn't have did what you did. And for that entire deer season, you know when I got my keys back? The day deer season was over. She said, here, you can have your car back now. You know what I learned? A very valuable lesson. That she loved me. She loved me. Folks, listen. Don't be afraid to take things away from your children that really don't belong to them. You know, it's amazing to me whenever, you know, I've had to take my kids' phones before for a period of time, and it's just amazing the panic mode sometimes when you say, give me that phone. And they're like, oh, shoot. What's it going to find? You know what I'm saying? But, like, we're here today, and we're like, well, if I take this, and I take this, and I take this, they're just going to rebel. How? Sitting in their room with nothing to do? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Yep. How are they going to rebel? Where are they going to go if you got the car keys? Who are they going to call if you got their phone? Y'all hear what I'm saying? You really are in control. But we got to start exercising this stuff by faith. When a person's way of thinking is opposite of what God says, he must say, God is right and I am wrong. Faith believes God. I believe that I can rear my children for God. I believe that they can turn out for God. Faith is agreeing with God and taking action according to His instruction. Miss Crystal's going to come to the piano tonight. We're going to unplug right there and we'll pick this back up next Sunday night. I hope you're enjoying.